We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Overnight America. I need to play the theme song again tonight. I don't think I played it yet today. I need to get this in the system so we just automatically have it play every night. Welcome back for the last hour of the show. And then after midnight, we have the replay hours of the first two. We heard from our friend Rich Rubino, who came on to talk about what the candidates were saying during the Democratic debate tonight. And also on those debate nights, we'd like to welcome in our friend Kristen Arnold, who you've heard on the show before. She's an expert in panel moderation. She comments on the performances of the debate moderators, gives us an idea of who had the most screen time. RulesAnalyst.com is the website. You can check her out. Kristen Arnold, thank you for coming back on to Overnight America.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
So how was the debate for you tonight?
It was okay. Okay, I guess. I thought it was interesting that Brian Williams, I listened on to MSNBC, and Brian Williams was like, oh my God, that was like the most superbly moderated debate. And then he espouses that Rachel Maddow and the fearsome foursome should be permanently given the moderator role.
Oh, of course. Well, this is the second one that Rachel Maddow had, isn't it? I think she was out there before. All right, so I actually, the debate started a central time, 8 o'clock, and I caught zero of it because that's when my show started. I was trying to listen during the commercials a little bit, so I really didn't get to catch much of it. In general, Brian Williams says it's the best that's ever been done. It couldn't get any better than what we saw tonight. What do you think about the moderator's performance?
Well, I don't think you missed much, Ryan, quite frankly.
Okay.
So, from a content point of view, and you probably already, and I didn't listen to the interview before me, but I don't think they really covered a whole lot of new ground. Mm-hmm. And there was very little interaction. There was a lot of collegiality, and, it's probably the funniest debate I've seen, but that isn't because of the moderators. That's just because they've been on the debate stage a bazillion times, so I think they're kind of getting used to what has to happen.
Yeah.
But there were very few responses.
Oh, okay.
So as far as number of questions, and then you know how people, there's basically three different ways that you can answer. One is that you get a question directed at you. You can rebut something if your name was invoked by either the moderator or the candidate, or you put your little hand up and you smile and you wink at the moderator and you go, oh, pick me so that I can join in, or you just barge your way in. And they really were really minimizing that kind of behavior. So the responses were a lot smaller than they've been in the past.
Huh.
And so it got kind of spicy towards the end with Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Buttigieg kind of got into each other a little bit, which I finally woke up.
You waited for that moment.
But that was like at 11 o'clock at night, so I'm not Eastern time right now. That was 11 o'clock, and you're like going, hey, wait a minute. There's supposed to be closing comments at, 75 seconds a person, and that's going to be like 15 minutes. They should be wrapping this up by now.
Yeah, exactly. And I wondered, too, about the time management that they used for the course of this, because originally you look at it and they said, it's only going to be 2 hours long. And I thought, okay, 10 people on stage, 2 hours long. Yeah, right. I don't think anyone realized. But for the past, I mean, the last debates, it seemed like they kept it on track, but I think those were three-hour debates, or maybe they were...
They were three-hour debates, the last three of them. The first couple of them that only had 10 people.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was two. But what was weird about this one is in their notification in MSNBC's notification about the format, they did say that there were going to be three breaks and it was going to be 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
So when the first break didn't happen for, like, the first break was 54 minutes into it.
Oh, wow.
And you're thinking, this is really weird. And then they cut to another break at, you know, an hour and 28 minutes into it, and then another one at an hour and 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just weird. It was like, boy, you didn't space that very well. So when we came back from the break, the last break, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go into closing comments because we have 15 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's poor moderator management.
You know, time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
Well, either that or you're a cable TV show and you really don't care.
Oh, that could be part of it, too. Kristen Arnold joining us, rulesanalyst.com. She's an expert in panel moderation. I noticed this a couple of times when I was trying to monitor during our commercial breaks. It seemed like there was a lot of instances where they would allow for clapping. Did the moderators say anything about the way the audience was participating tonight?
No, not... not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the moderators or somebody is like the precursor as people are getting seated and kind of the rules of the road and things like that. So that something might have been said to the audience. But I did hear that the technical capabilities of that auditorium, as well as the MSNBC technical people, that the moderators were able to hear everything that the candidates were saying. And sometimes when you've got all that clapping going on, you can't hear what's going on. So I don't know if it was just the technical capabilities and the amphitheater kind of acoustics made it easier for them to moderate it. But
what's interesting is the last time there was that technical glitch, it was MSNBC holding the debate too. So maybe they don't have the best crew that does the sound for these things.
Well, there really wasn't any technical problems this time.
Oh, good.
So that was good. It was just weird.
Weird. Well, what felt weird about it?
Well, again, the people on the fringe. Poor Andrew Yang. He's a smart guy,
mm-hmm.
and he had, you know, 6 minutes and 48 seconds compared to, drum roll, please, who got the most amount of time was Elizabeth Warren at 13 minutes and 26 seconds. And what was really, really weird is that I had kind of expected that everybody would have an opening salvo kind of question mm-hmm. aimed at them. And the first opening questions were about impeachment and how can we work together, both sides of the aisle kind of thing. And we got about six people into it. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, everybody's going to have an equal say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Warren. Like, what?
Right away,
it didn't make any sense. So then we went to Booker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Warren again. And then to Booker as a response. And then back to Warren. There's some crosstalk. And it's like, this is, why are we going to Warren so much?
Mm. How many, go ahead.
Yeah, and then the other piece is that she spoke over time 10 times.
Oh, wow. She was really taking advantage of the leniency they were giving towards her.
Yeah, because all anybody says is, thank you, Senator, or thank you, Mayor, or thank you, Congresswoman, or, mm-hmm. you know, that's all they do.
Right. How did Steyer do tonight? How many minutes did he have?
Oh, he beat Andrew Yang by, like, 2 whole minutes. He spoke 8 minutes and 27 seconds.
Wow.
Yippee!
Well, that surprises me.
And then next to that is Tulsi Gabbard at 9 minutes and 16 seconds.
Oh, wow. Actually, that's a lot.
It is more than what you normally get.
Like, Steyer and Yang are right at the bottom of the polls. They were right on the fringe of making this debate, at least for the polling aspect of it. So it surprises me there's such a big difference between Yang and Steyer. They just give so much more attention to Steyer. But then again, he's thrown a lot of money to make sure he's in this race. Who knows? How did Biden do time-wise?
So Biden had 12 minutes and 37 seconds. He was actually asked 5 questions,
mm-hmm.
whereas Warren was asked 6 questions, direct questions, and Buttigieg was asked 6 questions. So,
oh, wow.
Especially in this race, Buttigieg was kind of considered to be in the top tier.
Yeah. Well, he's rising those polls in Iowa, so they've been giving him more attention. How many minutes did he have?
Did who have? Buttigieg?
Yeah, right.
12 minutes and 49 seconds.
Whoa, and he had more than Biden.
Yeah.
That surprises. No.
Yeah, he did. Not by much, but.
Yeah, still, that surprises me because Biden's still by far the front runner in the polls. You'd think that he would get a little bit more time.
But not in Iowa.
Not in Iowa. Oh, that's interesting. What about someone like Bernie Sanders? Because he's always usually in the top three.
Yeah, Bernie got 11 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay. And well, when you look at some of these times, Yang, I don't know what Yang does to get pushed off to the side. Maybe he's not just as forceful. A couple of times I would catch out of the corner of my eye him raising his hand. He was very polite raising his hand. And I don't know if they just ignored him or they just didn't like that tactic.
Well, regardless, it's their job to make sure that the field is equitable.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, even from a question point of view, poor Cory Booker only got two questions directed at him.
Oh, wow.
Directly.
Wow.
And Andrew Yang got 4, which is better than Tulsi got 3 and Tom Steyer and Kamala Harris only got 3.
Huh.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting how the moderators can really influence the flow, and that if you invoke somebody's name in the question, you have to give them space. So the last question that kind of threw everybody a little bit was the Gabbard Buttigieg kind of conversation about, are you going to send troops into Mexico? That was kind of an interesting one.
catch them by surprise on something like that.
And because they invoked each other on their responses, they were able to go back and forth.
Oh, I see.
But if they hadn't have done that, the moderators would have pulled the cord, which they did finally when about 2 or 3 into it, then they shifted it over to Sanders, and then Sanders pivoted it to a completely different response.
Well, one more question for you. Kristen Arnold joining us here in her website, rulesanalyst.com. In general, the questions that were asked, did they seem pretty unbiased, or how did they do in the way that they were asking their questions tonight as moderators?
Well, they were asking kind of front-loaded. It's called a stem plus a query. Mm-hmm. So you front-load with somebody's comment or something that's going on in the politics. And then they would ask the question. And I thought what was really interesting with this group of moderators is that they would do the stem piece, the query, and then call on the candidate.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that means everybody kind of has to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. But then they would only let one or two candidates respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd move on to the next topic. So they covered a whole bunch of topics. And I would call it shallow but not deep.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's why I just kind of go, you know, they didn't really cover any new ground. I mean, they did talk about voting rights and abortion rights and paid leave and climate change, which we haven't really heard on the debate stage much. But other than that, you just kind of go, oh, I thought the question about would you Twitter the same way that President Trump tweets now when you're president?
Interesting. That was one of the questions they asked?
That's one of the questions. Well, it wasn't phrased that way, but that's
something like that. Oh, that's weird.
You're like, yeah, that's really helpful.
Kristen Arnold, they can find you at rulesanalyst.com. Is that the best place for people to check you out?
Absolutely.
An expert in panel moderation. She's been joining us after the debates. And what was this, number 4 or 5 or something like that? Yeah, the 5th Democratic debate. Wow. And we have another one. They've been pumping these out. I understand December 19th is the next one, so a little less than a month away. Wow. Man, they've been pushing those things. I hope I can talk to you again then.
We've got 7 more of these. And then when it comes to the presidential debate, you've got 3 presidentials and 1 VP.
Ugh, 7 more of these debates.
It's too long. This whole presidential cycle. In Canada, it's like 60 or 90 days or something. In Great Britain, it's the same thing. It's like, why are we spending so much time and money on this?
Everywhere else, they get it right, where they don't try to push this out to 4 years of campaigning. Ugh. Kristen Arnold, thank you so much for joining us on Overnight America.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
And she joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. You can check her out online, rulesanalyst.com. Really good statistics and analysis of how the moderators handled it tonight on MSNBC. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America. Big thanks again to Kristen Arnold for hanging out with us here tonight, talking about the moderator's performance during the debate. We're going to post these online. You can even get last hour's interview where Rich Rubino ran down the different candidates, the different things they said, the importance of some historical context to what they've said. It's actually a really good conversation at KMOX.com/ONA. Let me go to Chuck, who's calling in. What's going on, Chuck?
Hello. Hey, just talking last hour. I couldn't get to the phone then, but about walking out on somebody.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I've done that a couple of times. One that comes to mind was, it's several years ago, I was in the insurance business, and I had an agency, and the general manager was one of these fellows that thought he could show his manlyhood by dropping F-bombs and being, you know, real filthy-mouthed, and he prided himself in having a meeting. He had to be at his meeting every Monday, regardless. I don't care. You had to cancel an appointment, you be there because he's so important. And I guess there were probably 60 of us in the room, and I was near the back of the room, and he was using one filthy mouth after the other, one thing after. And I put up with it for about 5 minutes, and, you know, we had these office girls who would bring in documents for him and some of his meeting, I guess. I don't know, but he, that didn't stop him. He's such a filthy mouth. And, you know, I just calmly stood up and walked up to him and loud enough everybody could hear me that I said, you know, when he believes he can speak professionally and quit this filthy mouth of his insulting these here ladies and so forth, and I, you know, said, maybe I'll listen to you then. I just turned around and walked out.
How did that go?
It went okay. You know, he never brought that up because I didn't miss his meeting. You know, I was there. I guess that's the only reason I was there. And, you know, I would have pursued it had he brought it up. You know, a lot of times we had personal meetings, just him and I, you know, and a lot of people, you know, other agents did. But he never did bring it up.
And, just like that.
Yeah, it was fine, but I'm sure that everyone in the room heard because I talked with a couple of fellas afterwards. I saw them, and they said, yeah, they didn't have the courage to do that. You know, I guess they was afraid they'd get fired or something like that.
And that's a tough thing to do, to stand up and walk out of something when your livelihood, your job could be at stake for something like that.
Well, Ryan, to me, there's many things more important than money. I can always get money. You know, yeah. I've never stole anything or robbed nothing, but I mean, not that way. I've always been able to go out and earn my living, you know. Maybe, you know, some jobs pay better than others, and I've had several different careers in my lifetime. But, you know, I wouldn't let a job or anything like that get, because that's your character.
Yeah.
That's who you are. And if you don't have courage enough to stand up for what you believe, well, the way I see it, then, you know, there's not much to you if you can't.
Wow. Are you retired now?
Yes.
How many years have you been retired?
Oh, let's see. I went blind, and so it's about 88, since 88.
Oh, wow. So you've been retired for a long time.
Yes.
Like 30 years now.
Yes.
That was a whole different era. Well, back when you would look at just workplaces in general, you know, the way you would talk when a lady was present, you know, you'd have a lot more courtesy, a lot more manners that you would expect in that time frame. Today, it seems like I don't even know if people have those sort of manners anymore.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a downright shame and disgrace the way that, well, even young ladies, you know, I guess I'm old school, the language some of these young ladies use. You know, I've used bad language in certain situations, but I would never cut loose in a mixed group or anything like that. You mm-hmm. know, some of these ladies are saying, you know, they don't maybe deserve respect. I remember several years ago I was going to SIU in Edwardsville, and this is back in the, I guess it was in the early 70s, when the women's right was a big issue, and these women were braless and everything, and I was going to one of the buildings, and as a courtesy, there was a young lady, I didn't know her, but she was walking up next to me, and I opened the door for her. And she stopped, and she looked at me, and she cussed me for doing that. You know, she said, I'm not helpless. I can help. Fine, go ahead. You know.
Try to do something nice. What do they say? No good deed goes un... what is that phrase? No good deed goes unreturned or something like that. I'm getting
myself. Unpunished, I believe it
is. Unpunished. That's right. Chuck, thank you so much for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, that's great. Way to go, Chuck. Walk it out. I feel like there's going to be a lot of walkouts this Thanksgiving. People are just going to get tired of talking politics, and they're going to say, okay, see you later. Bye-bye. I feel there's going to be a lot more of that. A couple of radio stories ended up getting into the news. CBS actually covered one, a radio contest that I've never heard of this ever happening. What a wild contest. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America kind of works a little bit. I'll tell you that Doug and Donna came in a couple of nights ago, and you can listen to the full hour by going to KMOX.com/ONA. Oh, was it unbelievable? They did a fantastic job, and they did a live performance of the Overnight America theme song. Doug wrote and performed this with Donna live. It was so cool.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people that are feeling all right here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Whew. How good was that? That was so good. Doug and Donna were fantastic. I loved it. So I wanted to thank them again, and we got to get that into regular rotation. It's so good. I wanted to play this one bit from a CBS TV station. Well, actually, this is CBS News that's covering this. This is down in Florida. You may have heard of radio stations giving away things like family four packs, very popular, or trip to something would be a big trip, right? Anything along those lines were pretty popular where people would call in and try to win tickets to something or whatever it is. There was a contest by Jason Jones. He goes by Big Mama. Yeah, the guy by the name of Jason Jones. He calls himself Big Mama Morning Show or whatever it is. They held a contest called Win a Baby. Win a baby. How do you do that?
It's crazy. Never ever thought that we would, you know, win a baby, as they say.
No, I've never heard of anything close to that on any radio station in all of the United States. I'm sure it's been done in the past, but I've never, ever, ever, ever would have imagined that they would use this. And I'm telling you, it is so unique. Now everyone's talking about it in the industry.
Kristen Anthony Rivera adore their newborn son, Garrett.
It was the first.
Who would have thought he was the product of a radio contest the couple in.
Wait, what did she say? Radio. She say.
Product of a radio.
Did you say radio correctly? Let's listen to that one more time.
Of a radio.
Radio. Radio.
A radio.
Radio. She's saying it weird, isn't she? Is it just me, or is she saying it weird?
Of a radio.
Radio. Say, just say radio.
Of a radio contest the couple entered back in 2017.
I just kind of put our story together, told them how we met and how much we loved each other and how much we wanted a family and why we had to put those plans on hold.
The middle school teacher and the youth baseball coach had already been thinking about starting a family when they received some unexpected news.
2 to 3 months into the process is when we ended up finding out that I had testicular cancer.
After undergoing chemotherapy, Anthony was diagnosed with cancer a second time. That's when the doctors told the Riveras they would not be able to have children. so the couple decided to freeze a sample of Anthony's sperm.
And then they decide to trade that for... No, how does the radio station give away a baby? Do they just say, all right, we're going to go to an orphanage, pick up a down-on-his-luck kid, and then we're going to give it away on air? No? Well, you get the rest of it here.
It was hard enough to see my husband go through that and worry about the future with him, and then to know that we probably couldn't have children was just heart-wrenching.
You're waking up with Big Mama and the Wild Bunch!
That's where radio...
I hate this morning show already. Now, they got a good gimmick, but any morning show that acts like this...
Heart-wrenching.
You're waking up with Big Mama and the Wild Bunch!
That's where radio hosts...
They called those type of shows, like morning zoos. They were very popular in the 90s. A lot of radio stations had them because people liked the outrageous things that they would do. A lot of times they were just mimicking the things that Howard Stern was doing, and you didn't even know it. That's just what some of these people did. But going up and, hey, listen to Big Mama, ding, 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 wee, 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 honk, honk, all the sound effects that they throw in there. Ah, it's so cringy to me.
You're waking up with Big Mama and the Wild Bunch.
That's where radio host Jason Big Mama Jones stepped in.
I always say I come in every morning to make miracles happen and make dreams come true. And that's what I feel like I did with this one.
Jones started the contest after he and his wife went through their own struggles with infertility and shared their story on social media.
Every shot that she took, every blood test, every doctor's appointment, we shared it all.
About 1 in 8 couples have trouble getting or sustaining a pregnancy, and the cost of treatment can be a problem.
Oh, yeah, it's very pricey. Very, very pricey. We see these different stories that are out there. And, yeah, the morning show is doing something really cool. They're using it as a way to maybe help promote. You know, there's some issues out there, and I'm sure the people that they worked with, the sponsor for something like this, I'm sure is also getting their name out there quite frequently, which is the reason why they are picking up this sponsorship. And who knows, maybe they're picking up all kinds of other business as that sponsorship. But either way, what a unique idea for a contest for a radio station. So eventually they have the kid, all is well, and then there they are, happy as a couple with a brand new baby, won by a radio station. Wow. You don't really expect those things. One other radio story. This is from The Hour. The conservative radio station in Colorado, we covered this the other day, and he was actually on CNN over the weekend. His name's Craig Silverman. He's a Saturday host on 710 KNUS. I tried to look up online to see if they were a station that a lot of people listen to. I couldn't tell. I mean, I don't think they subscribe in a way that we can see if they're popular or not. But I haven't heard of this radio station. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But a lot of times you find in some of these markets, these are pretty low-rated stations, and I'm going to guess it might be a lower-rated station. But either way, it doesn't matter. He had a Saturday show in Denver, which is a very big radio market, and he said he was taken off mid-show for criticizing President Trump. And CNN brought him on. This is Stelter doing his Reliable Sources program.
Says he was cut off for criticizing President Trump. And we know that Salem Media has pressured some other radio hosts to toe a pro-Trump line. That's been the direction of the business. So let's talk about what's going on in right-wing radio and what happens when you try to dissent.
Let's see what's going on in right-wing radio and see what happens when you try to dissent. Well, that's the thing. In most talk stations, there's a reason why they have conservative talk shows with conservative talk show hosts. No one listens to left-wing radio. Does it even exist anymore? The only time there was a push was when they did the Air America that failed miserably on satellite radio. And sometimes you catch a host here and there. But here's the thing. It's not that there's some sort of directive that says to Fox News, like, let's just use Sean Hannity, for example. He's one of the biggest talk show hosts in the country. He brings on liberal viewpoints all the time. Tucker Carlson, though he doesn't have a radio show, he's on Fox TV. He brings on liberal commentators all the time. All those, Mark Levin, they do. And the reason why they do that is because the conflict is good for them to air that out. They like to have that sort of debate with the people. I don't think that conservative talk show hosts particularly try to say, oh, no, we can't ever bring on the viewpoint of anyone else. I don't think that's the thing. In fact, I think they want the viewpoint of someone else on their radio show. So when CNN brings it up, they make it sound like it's just this giant conspiracy. You get your marching orders for your right-wing talk show. You open up your email and it self-destructs right after you read it. And it's a big secretive society that has to go by the marching orders of Rush Limbaugh. And they give this sort of impression, and CNN is definitely guilty of it here. They give this sort of impression that, oh, that's the reason why he wasn't sticking by the marching orders. So they bring on this host, Craig Silverman.
So let's talk about what's going on in right-wing radio and what happens when you try to dissent. Craig Silverman's with me now from Denver. Craig, so you were cut off, you believe, because you were criticizing the president?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I wrote a column expressing frustration about the things you were just speaking about. The unwillingness or inability of, well, about my colleagues would not address this impeachment hearing. They would not address the facts. And I wanted to do that.
All right. So he does that on his show or whatever it is. And then the radio station responds. This is what the radio station said. And this is an article from The Hour. Host Craig Silverman, the incident underscored the growing isolation of conservatives whose viewpoints reflect anything but unwavering support of Trump. Silverman was not fired, but was taken off the air because of his decision to move forward with appearing on a competing station over management objections, said Salem Media Group General Manager VP Brian Taylor late this weekend. Said a statement Silverman said he interprets as KNUS backtracking to avoid violating a contract that requires 30 days notice before termination. We have never told Mr. Silverman the position to take on Trump and impeachment. Our hosts have the freedom and expression of their opinions. Despite Taylor's clarification, Silverman said Monday that his future with KNUS remains unclear. So I really don't know what happened here. I get the impression that he... this is my impression, and I'd love to talk to him about this. I tweeted at him. I don't know how to reach him, but I did send him a message on Twitter asking if he would come on the show. I have my own assumptions of what might have happened here. I'd like to talk to him, and I actually covered this last night. So this was just a quick little follow-up, or two nights ago, I should say. You can go and listen to the podcast at KMOX.com. But if you missed it, I'll just say, I think that when you write for some of the competitors, that management generally doesn't like that, but normally it's passable. Some stations are okay with it, some are not. But if you criticize the employees of the station that you are on publicly, that's a big no-no. And I can feel that if he was going on air, just his answer with CNN made it sound like he was criticizing all of his colleagues, calling them out. That doesn't always work great if you're a Saturday morning show that's disposable, right? You don't want to go on and bash the people on that radio station. I had a feeling that might have happened, the way that he was setting this up. Now, they haven't posted the audio. I don't know exactly what the show sounded like. Maybe we'll get him on the show sometime. But that's just the follow-up from the latest news on that. All right, one more segment left until we say goodnight. It's Overnight America, KMOX. So after midnight, we do the replay hours of Overnight America. I think you'll enjoy that. We'll go over KMOX Day, which was today. KMOX Day. Wow. Can you believe it? I have a couple of things from the KMOX archives I think you'll enjoy. Played an extended version of Jack Buck and Mike Shannon's call. Go crazy. Go crazy, folks. How about Jim White? A couple of examples of Jim White. And I also have an interview with Jack Buck interviewing John McCormick, the man who walks and talks at midnight. It only seems fitting that after midnight, we get to play a little more of John McCormick's voice. And you can tell he was ready for a marathon. They said he was going to do his show, his talk show. And I know they played some music at night, but his talk show went from midnight to 7 a.m. on Christmas morning. I can think of a million other things I'd rather be doing on Christmas morning than doing a seven-hour show on the radio. Quite commitment. Quite a commitment indeed for those radio personalities on KMOX. Definite legends there with Jack Buck, John McCormick, and Jim White. We'll also have some fun with Chris Raby, and that's coming up, and we'll talk a little Thanksgiving, too. Had a lot of fun with Chris Raby, so I think you'll enjoy that, too. In the hour from 1 to 2, the replay hour there, we're going to talk a little bit about Mayor Lyda Crewson considering bringing back red light cameras. We'll talk about what you do with the grease when you start cooking for Thanksgiving. I think we do that one, too. We got a lot to get to, and you know what? Just enjoy it. If you want to, you can actually listen to it right now. You may be sitting at home. You may be driving around, whatever it may be. I feel like whatever your routine is at night, I'm just gracious. I am just so thankful that you spend it with us here on Overnight America. KMOX.com/ONA is where you can find it right now, or wherever you download your podcasts. We make it easy for you if you want to listen back to it. Only the parts you want to listen to. You can listen to this. You can listen to that. Skip ahead. Go backwards. It all works out that way. You can also find me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. I'll be back again tomorrow night. It's the last show of the week. Something special about tomorrow. They got the NFL on KMOX, so there's a select matchup. We'll be on right after, probably about 11 o'clock or so. Hope we can see each other then. Enjoy the rest of your night. Yeah.
The lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.